Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic, word and spirit empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Guys alive? Are you there? All right, praise the Lord. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 11 tonight. I want to start here. I was just meditating this week, and this has kind of rang in my heart, this manifesting the Spirit. Now, when we talk about manifesting manifesting things, a lot of times it's usually on the negative side, right? They're manifesting some demonic activity. But you know what? You and I, we are to be manifesting the Holy Spirit, right? You are possessed. You are possessed. You're possessed by the Spirit of God, right? You're possessed by a spirit. You are, and it's the Holy Spirit. So I want to just talk a little bit tonight about manifesting the Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 11, let's look here in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesse's offspring, David's father, of course, the son of David, being Jesus. It says, then shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of the roots. Now look what it says here. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So he says right here that this branch that's going to come out of this stump, there's going to be a revitalizing of Jesse. Of God's going to bring forth out of Israel, going to bring a branch, this servant, this Messiah. And it says here, you're going to know it because why? The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Now, that word rest means to place upon, but it also means to rest upon in order to produce an alliance. I love this. So he said, this is going to be the defining characteristic of the Messiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is going to get into an alliance with him. The Spirit of God is going to rest upon him, and you're going to know it's him, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in his life. You are going to know him because he's going to manifest the Spirit. He's going to manifest the Spirit. So the sign of the Messiah would be an alliance with the Holy Spirit. So the Father would manifest himself through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it. He said, there in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he said, I have manifested your name to them. I've manifested who you are. I've manifested the character, the nature of who you are, Father. I've manifested who you are. The Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit on my life, I've manifested you. I've manifested you. We know in Luke 4, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's echoing Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said there's going to be an empowerment, an enablement that's going to help him. There was a partnership with the Holy Spirit that happened in the life of Jesus. I like this. Listen to what Gerald Hawthorne, he's a professor at Wheaton College. He said this, the Holy Spirit was the divine power by which Jesus overcame his human limitations, rose above his human weakness, and won out over his human mortality. I like that. Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit. He said this in John 5. Jesus said this, I can of myself do nothing. I think that's the most interesting scripture in the whole Bible. He said, I can of myself do nothing. This is the Son of God saying, I can of myself do nothing. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit. He was a man. He was God, but he was a man. So Jesus was manifesting the Spirit, right? How God, it's another one, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I love that one too. Right? How was he going to do good? How was he healing? Through the Spirit. Manifesting the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, even Jesus, and I'm laying this out now, but even Jesus, listen now, even Jesus, he was born of the Spirit. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 1, he's talking to Joseph, the angel's talking to Joseph, said, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." So the Spirit of God was involved in the incarnation. I mean, you can look at Luke 1, 34 and 35. Mary says, "How can this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you." The incarnation. Incarnation, incarno, incarnation means in the flesh or in meat. It was God in meat. It was God in the flesh. So Jesus comes down here, the incarnation, he comes in flesh, right? And he begins to manifest the Spirit, right? The Word, John 1, the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's the same with us. Listen, it's the same with us. He's the head, we're the body. There is a continuing incarnation, the Word becoming flesh through the church. Yes, the Word became flesh through Jesus, but there is a continuing Word becoming flesh through the body of Christ. So write this down for all of us. The defining sign that we are Christians is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, let me help us here. Now, remember now, Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. If it's true for Jesus, it's true for us. Because why? He's 100% man, right? And he's 100% God. Well, what are you? You're his body. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Right? You're married to Jesus. You're one with Jesus. I'm one with Jesus. So what's true about him is true for us as his church. Now, so the defining characteristic for us is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, how do you say that, Pastor Paul? Well, let me just help you. John 13:35, Jesus said these words. He said, "People will know you are my disciples because you love one another." Remember that? But in Romans 5:5, it says this: "The love of God has been shed abroad," or poured out in your hearts, "by the Holy Spirit." So Jesus said the defining characteristic is the love of God. That's how people will know you're his disciples. But he says you can't even do that because the Holy Spirit's the one that's given you that love. So the defining characteristic is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Man, this is good, isn't it? I mean, I'm talking about, it's just, this is who we are. This is who we are. So Jesus said when the Spirit would come, he would glorify. This is what he said. This is what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to glorify me. Now, the word glorify means this. It means to ascribe value by recognizing something as a real substance. That's what it means. It means seeing the character and the nature of God demonstrated. He said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to actually demonstrate, he's going to manifest through people. He's going to bring it to life. He's going to bring the life of Jesus to life in people. He's going to bring the life of Jesus. He's going to bring it through his people. So glorifying Jesus is manifesting Jesus. Now, go with me real quick to John chapter 3. Hallelujah. John chapter 3. Look here. I just want to say something tonight. A spirit needs a body to operate through. A spirit can't operate without a body. Demonic spirit, so we take it on the negative side, the demonic spirit can operate without a body. But God's spirit can operate without a body. He's got to have, that's why he lives in people. That's why he lives in us. So the way that he operates and manifests is through people. Now, Jesus said this in John chapter 3, verse 3. He says, most assuredly I say to you, Nicodemus comes to him, right? So he comes to him. He says, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you got to be born from above, got to be born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? But most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Now, you got to see that. Now, look what it says right there. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit. Notice it's big S and little s. You see that? Big S, little s. Why? Because the Spirit comes inside of your spirit. You're a three-part being, right? You're a spirit, you're a soul, you're a spirit that has a soul, lives in a body. So where you're joined to the Lord is in your spirit. Okay? Now, let's read on here. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Now listen to verse 8. It says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. What is he saying here? He says this, you can't see the Spirit, but you see the effects of the Spirit. You can't see it with your eyes. You can't see the Holy Spirit with your natural eye, but you can see it manifesting through people. You can see it manifesting around you. You can see it manifesting. He said, you're going to know this Spirit, man, because why? He's going to manifest through people. It's going to produce a sound. It's going to produce a movement. The Holy Spirit is manifesting, and he wants to manifest through our lives. He wants to produce some movement. He wants to produce some sound. Again, I just want you to see that the Spirit of God is living inside of you. Amen. So the Holy Spirit finds animation through his people, through the church. We can manifest the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I like this one in Judges chapter 6. This is an Old Testament guy. And we know the Old Testament would come upon people, right? And he would, but this we live in a new covenant. It has better promises. And the Spirit is with us all the time. And this is an Old Testament guy in Judges chapter 6. Verse, I think it is, 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Aren't you like, I like that. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites gathered behind him. Now look what it says right here in the, I think it's the, what I put, the Amplified maybe is what it was. Maybe the Amplified, yeah. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord what? Now, read it. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself and took possession of him. Isn't that good? It means the Spirit put on Gideon. The Spirit stepped inside of Gideon. It's the same in the new covenant. The Spirit lives in you. The Spirit of God put you, he put you on. You're wearing him. He's wearing you, I should say. He's wearing you. He stepped into your life and he zipped himself up in you. Now we bring animation to what the Spirit is doing. We manifest Him. We manifest Him. Can I get a good amen here? Hallelujah. So, let's look at a few things tonight. There's a lot to say, but manifesting the Spirit. Number one, I want you to see this. Number one, if we're going to manifest the Spirit, I got to be aware of His abiding presence. We are spirit people having a human experience. I'm not a human being having a spiritual experience. I'm a spiritual person having a human experience. I'm not a human being having a spiritual experience. I am a spiritual person having a human experience. If I'm going to manifest Him, I have to be aware. If I don't have this knowledge, I'll live my life every single day and I'll stay unaware of this person called the Holy Spirit that's living in us and wants this relationship and to work through us. Now, the Bible is pretty clear calling us this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to put this up here because I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. If you can put that up there for me, it'd be awesome. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now, I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul is saying. He said, I could not, they were spiritual people, but he couldn't speak to them that way. You see that word spiritual people? It's the Greek word pneumatikos. 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 And this is what it means. It's a person characterized by the presence of the Spirit. This is how you define it. He said, I could not speak to you as a person characterized by the presence of the Spirit. We are spiritual people. The way that we are characterized is that we are spiritual people and the presence of the Lord lives in us and is upon us. This is who we are. So when I walk into work tomorrow, I need to realize that there is an abiding presence that's with me. Light has just walked in the room. Peace has just walked in the room. Joy has just walked in the room. Love has just walked in the room. Because the Spirit of God has put us on. Now I have a say in this. Right? I have a say in this, whether I quench the Spirit. Whether I grieve the Holy Spirit in my life and quench the Spirit of God in my life and keep Him from moving and flowing, it's a part, I have a choice to make. The Apostle Paul said, listen, you're spiritual people, but you're acting carnal. You're acting carnal. I want to manifest the Holy Spirit. You guys all right? Think about this. God is in us. Greater is He, 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. God lives in me. I got to start seeing myself like God sees me. The minute I stop seeing myself as God sees me, I entertain lies from the enemy. And the next thing you know, I'm quenching the Spirit and I'm not manifesting Him at all. I've got to have a realization that God lives on the inside of me. I am carrying Him, man. He is living in my prayers work. My prayers are powerful. My presence is powerful. I'm here for a purpose. For such a time as this, I am here right now. God, I'm zipped up and He's zipped up. He's zipped. Whoop, I'm here. The Holy Spirit couldn't be, God, Jesus couldn't be here, so He sent me. The Holy Spirit has put us on. Man, that's so good. And I have to have an awareness of this. Over 100 scriptures refer to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Over 100. In the New Testament, over 100 scriptures referring to the presence of God living in us. And you and I, it's the defining characteristic. It's the Holy Spirit living in me. His presence with me. Oh, if we could see. If we could just pull the veil back and see like God sees us. it's trying to, the book is trying to tell us, it becomes a mirror for us that I could look in this thing, man. I don't have to be ravaged any longer by condemnation and guilt. And I don't have to be living under the bondage of that stuff anymore. I can truly walk in my true identity and who I really am in Jesus. Now, go with me real quick to John. You're there in John, but go to John 14. John chapter 14. He says this, Jesus, his upper room discourse, these are the final words of Jesus before he goes to the cross. I mean, that's pretty important, right? And he spends John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. He talks here about the Holy Spirit and this comforter or this helper that's going to come to us. Let's look here in verse 16, actually verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, what's the next verse? Next verse, verse 16. What's the next word? What's the first one? So, and is a conjunction. That means it's connected with the one before. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And, see, you can't do that. You can't do this by yourself. He's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you someone that's going to help you do that. And he will give you another helper, another allos. The word allos right here, it means one of the same kind. He's going to give you the twins. You got the twin spirit. The twin spirit. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you what? And we could stop right there and feast for the next 25 minutes about how God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Why do you think? Listen, he has been faithful to his call and he will remain faithful to his call. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. When I accept Jesus, it's not like he goes and comes back. No, he takes up residence. Even in my bad moments, the Holy Spirit is still there, abiding with me and there to help me. Hallelujah. I like that word helper. I need a helper. How about you? That word helper means one called alongside to help. One to come right by you, be your personal assistant. Right? It's better than Siri. And one thing for sure, he knows how to interpret what you say. You know what I'm saying. You start talking to that chick on the phone and she starts jumbling up words. She don't speak West Virginian very well. But he knows how to intercede for us, help us, carry the load. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, this helper, he's going to abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you already know. He's talking to these disciples. You already know him. For he dwells with you, and where will be what? So he said, listen, you've already known him. He's already dwelling. I'm with you. He has the Spirit, right? He is the Spirit. I mean, honestly, he's all three, right? He can be all three, just like the Father, the Son, the Spirit. They're all working together, correct? He said, you already know him. He knew you his activity, but he's just not going to be with you. There's going to be a change in relationship here after I die, after I'm buried, after I resurrect, right? And I'm ascended to the Father. I'm going to send back the Spirit, and that Spirit now is going to get on the inside of you. The change in relationship, he's not just going to come on you. He's not just going to come on you and lift away and leave. He said, I'm going to abide with you forever, and he's going to be inside of you. God lives in the side of me by his Spirit. The Spirit put me on. The Spirit put me on. Hallelujah. I like this. Greg Ogden says this. He says, Jesus continues his incarnation by dwelling in his people. The life of Jesus is still being manifest among people, but now no longer through an individual physical body limited to one place on earth, but through a complex corporate body called the church. Man, I love that. Every one of us in this room. I look across the room, everybody in here is born again. Everybody in here is born again. At least to my knowledge. You at least have testimony. I see that. And God lives on the inside of us. And there's nothing, listen, there should never be something, a situation that we ever feel defeated in. I should never ever walk in condemnation, not one more day. Why? Because God lives on the inside of me. Listen, if he saw my house fit to live in, listen, I must be pretty valuable. I'm a house fit for a king. I'm a house fit for a king. He lives in me. He lives in me. I'm telling you, he lives in us. Hallelujah. He's going to be with you forever. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do, you can do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Acts 10:38 again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, check this out, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, we just read a minute ago that this Spirit, which is God, will never leave us, right? He's going to be with us forever. Is God not with us? Absolutely he is. He's with me. And I'm thankful for that. That means, man, you know what? These hands are loaded. Right? Man, don't ever get intimidated. Church, listen to me. Don't ever be intimidated to go lay hands on the sick. Don't ever do that. Don't ever let the enemy convince you that you're this and you can't do that and you're not a preacher and blah, blah, blah. Don't ever let the enemy. Listen, Jesus lives on the inside of you just like anybody else. Heard a testimony yesterday. I was running and I was listening to a message. And this guy was talking about miracles. And he had actually had this preacher, he had a problem with his neck. Like I don't know exactly what was going on, but ruptured disc or whatever started happening. He said, I had everybody lay hands on me, all the healing ministers. His guy was well known. All the healing ministers laid hands on me and nothing. And it was an 18-year-old boy that God used to heal his neck. I'm not saying their prayers didn't work. I'm just saying God brought the manifestation, the final, through an 18-year-old boy. I thought, that's good. Because God lives, just like in our kids. God lives in our kids. Why do we think that there's some junior Holy Ghost? And when you finally reach the age, you got the adult version of God. The Spirit lives inside of our kids, man. You guys all right here? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, man, it's good. Again, Romans chapter 8. Just look on the screen here. I just want to read this to you. Again, I'm getting this in you. I just want you to hear it. Basic teaching tonight. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is your true position. This is your true zip code. You live in the Spirit. That's where you live. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells where? Listen to what the Apostle Paul's trying to say. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10. And if Christ is where? In you. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells where? I mean, out of three verses, in you, in you, in you, in you, in you. He dwells in us. Man, I want you to see yourself, man, the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, he stepped right on the inside of our lives, and he's zipped up. He's wearing you around. He's wearing us around. He's trying to manifest himself through us. Can I get a good amen here? Hallelujah. So let's make sure that we're not ignoring the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The most ignored person is the Holy Spirit. He's talking with us. I mean, he's talking with us, church. And we're not listening. He's a relational God. I want to say something. The Holy Spirit is the relational part of the Godhead. God, he's here. He's He's the part of the Godhead that lives. He's making Jesus real to you. He's talking to you. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. He's wanting to lead us. He's wanting to direct us. He's given us peace. He's given us checks. He's given us words for people. Because, all right, he wants to walk with us and talk with us. Amen. Now, Jesus said this. This is good. It is essential. Listen, it is essential. It is essential for our world to experience the Holy Spirit. It is essential for people to experience the Holy Spirit. What your people need at work, I'm telling you what they need. Your family, your marriage, it just needs a good dose of Holy Ghost. People that are confident, I'm not talking about going in there, wielding the Bible and beating people upside the head with it. That ain't going to do nothing. All that's going to do is drive people away. But when people know who they are and they're confident in their God, right? You can walk right in there, man, and you know. Listen, I want you to have the awareness tomorrow and tonight, whatever, that Jesus lives in me. And I'm walking in this place, man, and I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God's going to manifest through my life. You say, well, maybe I don't have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Nothing spectacular may happen. But, man, your very presence in situations can turn things around. Just because you are there, light is there. But see, we're not aware of it. We're not living aware of this. What's the world need right now? They need some people not to walk in fear. Having confidence and hope. Speaking life over situations and not death. Always, man, say, listen, you're going to make it. God's good. That's what he needs. He needs some representatives. He needs some representatives. Jesus said this in John chapter 7. He said, in that last great day of the feast. You might find that one real quick, but you can turn it. Let's go to John 7 back here real quick. John 7. Just flip back a couple. This is Jesus here. Again, hallelujah. Yeah. John chapter 7. Let's look here at verse 37. This is that. On the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a week-long, ceremony, week-long festival. And for six days, the priest at the end of the day would walk out at the temple and he would pour water from a golden pitcher onto a rock. And it was symbolizing how God provided water from the rock for the children of Israel in the wilderness. But on the last day of the feast, they didn't pour water out. They prayed for rain. So it says right here, now check this out. So remember this now. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood, the high priest. Right? He stood up and he cried, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or his heart, his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Now check this out, verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He's speaking of a time with the glorification of Jesus, which was his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and enthronement. With that, he poured the Spirit of God back out, and now you and I are carriers of living water. Now, water to them. Now, check this out. Now they're praying for rain because they live in that last day. They pray for rain because they lived in a very arid desert climate, and water was so precious. I mean, that's why it was always something. It was a blessing. That's why rain was seen as a blessing throughout the scriptures. Why? Because it was a blessing when it would rain on a hot day. It would provide life for crops, and it would produce life, and it was essential. Water's essential for living. You can't live without water. I can't live without water. We have to have water. Is essential. So Jesus saying here, listen, what you carry is essential for people. What you carry is essential. Out of your belly, out of your inmost being, with these rivers of living water, you will release life-sustaining commodity. The Spirit of God, people need to experience the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It will come out of you. The Spirit of God will manifest around you. The Spirit of God will manifest through your life if we'll just release the river that's in us. If we'll just release the river. If we'll give that word of encouragement, but we're led by the Spirit of God to pray. Whatever it is. Hallelujah. You guys are right here. So Jesus telling everyone that the Spirit is essential and people's lives depend on it. Right? We are spiritual people. We are pneumatikos. Spiritual people. And the people can experience the Spirit when they get around us. Silver and gold. Remember Peter? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what? Give I thee. There's stuff that silver and gold can't fix. There's stuff, Carla, that silver and gold can't fix. There's things that only the Spirit of God can fix. Now, I believe he'll anoint the silver and the gold. But there's sometimes, ain't nothing else, it needs rivers to be released around it. Right? Rivers. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, listen, we could just talk about this forever, but listen, the kingdom can be imparted to people. Romans 1:11, Apostle Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Again, Peter said, what I have, I'm going to give you. You can impart things into people. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, don't neglect the gift that's in you that was given to you through the laying on the hands of the eldership. There's things that you and I can give that are spiritual to people, and it touches them. Remember now, John 3, it says the wind blows, right? You can't see the Spirit, but you see the effects, feel the effects. You can hear the sound. There's stuff, man. Though you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not happening. It doesn't mean, man, God's not touching people by just our mere presence and us releasing rivers around us, encouraging, speaking life, whatever it would be. Whew. How about I want to manifest the Spirit? How about you? I want to manifest the Holy Spirit in my life, so the kingdom of God can be released. Jesus said, if I cast out spirit by the Spirit of God, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come near you. He said, something's working with me. And when something's working that you can't see and it's causing the devil to get kicked out, understand something. The kingdom of God's manifesting. Hallelujah. You guys all right here? Let me land this plane. Jesus said this in Luke 10:9. He said, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. You're releasing something and the kingdom is here. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like leaven. It gets in and begins to permeate. It begins to expand and begins to grow. And I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is in us. Because why? The Holy Spirit, the kingdom of Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. Therefore, the kingdom is in us. And we release the kingdom. We release it. I I love this, and I'll close on this one. It says, for you were once, Romans. Actually, go to Ephesians real quick, and then we'll close it up right here. Ephesians chapter 5. You have to follow me upstairs. Ephesians chapter 5. In the King James, I want them to see the King James first. I don't want them to see the Passion yet. Ephesians chapter 5 in the King James. Don't read. No one's eyes. Everybody cover your eyes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. It says you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, live now as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now let's go to the Passion now. The Passion translation of this verse. I want you to see it. Once your life was full of sin's darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with Him. Your mission is to live as children flooded with His revelation life. Stay here a second. Flooded with the revelation of light. Flooded with the revelation of what you carry. You have the light of the Lord shining through you. This is truth. Because of your union with Him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I am in union with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17, for he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. You are connected. I am connected. Man, I feel this in my bones. I'm connected to Him. He is the vine. He's the vine, and we're the branches. The life of God that's flowing in the trunk of that tree is flowing into the branches. It's not separated. It's one. The branch is just as much a part of the trunk of the tree. It's just as much a part of the tree as what the trunk and the roots are. We're one with Him. And I got to get flooded with the revelation of this. The revelation of light in what I carry. Boom. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit. Go back to, now give me the Passion in that real quick. It's okay. And the supernatural fruits of His light will be seen in you. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. The supernatural fruits of His life. The Spirit is light. Now flip to the King James, New King James, real quick here for me again, if you wouldn't care. I want you to see this. New King James. I know I'm working you hard up there tonight. It's good for you. It's good. They're training up there. Doing a good job, Alethea. Thank you. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Go back to the Passion now. Doing a great job. And the supernatural fruits of His light. The supernatural fruit of His Spirit. The Spirit is light. And I have to get flooded with the revelation that God's Spirit and His the Spirit of light, the light Spirit, is in me. And when that starts to happen, He'll start manifesting. God wants to manifest through our lives every day. And many times, it's not something crazy. I'm thankful for crazy, and I want crazy. But it's an act of kindness. It's buying somebody a meal. It's loving an enemy. It's having peace in the midst of a storm. And all of a sudden, you're in the boat and everybody else in the boat and you're not cracking and falling apart, but you're still standing there and you're saying, it's all going to be good. It's all going to be all right. Boom. The Holy Spirit. He zipped you up, man. He's in you. He's manifesting. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, you are the animator. Amen. You guys all right? So go be. Go do. Man, go be. We'll pick it up here next week or whatever, but that's good enough for tonight. We can dismiss for a few minutes for coffee and donuts, and we'll come back in for the next hour. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad He's living in you tonight? Aren't you glad He never leaves you? He's with you forever. He's in you forever, right? And no matter what we go through, listen, He's with us in the middle of it. No matter what, He's there. God's never leaving us. Right? Man, opposition is an opportunity. That's just the word I heard today. Opposition is an opportunity for God to do something through me. So many times we pray to get out of the skillet when the heat comes on. When sometimes God's not interested in taking you out of the skillet. He's interested in showing up in the fire with you. Right? He'll take us through the fire. There's a fourth man. Right? And it's in the middle of that God shows up. And you come out and you don't smell like smoke. And man, people have been ministered to. And all of a sudden, man, your testimony and witness of how you didn't fail and didn't get mad at God and how you didn't fall here and how you didn't shake your fist at God, but you're still strong and standing. That's a testimony of the world. The Holy Spirit's manifesting. So opposition is just an opportunity for God to show up. For the Spirit of God to manifest. Father, I thank you again so much tonight that you live in us. You really do. We see those few scriptures tonight, God, over 100 scriptures telling us about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, He's real. You're real. Spirit of God, you're real. You're not a force. You're not some energy. You're not some vibe. You are a person. And you live in us. And I'm thankful, God, tonight that you chose to live on the inside of me. And we walk out of here tonight with our shoulders squared a little farther backward. We walk out of here with some more confidence. Walking out of here, God, in a confidence in you. We'll walk out of here, God, tonight with our head held high, knowing that greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. And I pray, God, that we will let you manifest through us by your Spirit. You've given us a helper. You've given us a helper. We are never alone. So we lean on our help. You're our help. So we thank you. Bless these people tonight, God. Pray that you bless them, that you would keep them, that you would cause your face to shine upon them, that you be gracious unto them, that you would lift up your countenance, Father God, upon them, and you would give them your peace. I thank you, God, that you're stamping them and marking them with your name. We walk out of here tonight, God, as children of God, loved, highly valued. Let us never lose sight of the revelation of the light that we have. Flooded, children flooded with the revelation of the light the Holy Spirit in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great Wednesday evening, folks. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.